And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, better known as Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. Live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange, I'd like to begin our program by just simply stating that lyrics like poetry have a message. History like a diamond shines clear to the truth. Words have meanings that we can all comprehend like definitions. News creates a chain of events that we don't always understand. Now just pull back the curtain and see the real contributions, and you'll find our Quest moment, where we attempt to make waves. So thank you for joining us this morning as we share our perspective of our diaspora. Now, I want to start by saying every show is a Quest moment, and the Quest moment is simply defined as a cornucopia of physics, which dictates that where there are vibrations, there must be a medium, and all vibrations possess a wave nature. In our community, our art is in fact and in spirit the medium through which our airwaves travel. Where there is no medium, there are no vibrations. And now, without any further ado, I'd like to introduce our first, I can't call you a student host, but our elder in charge to keep us in line and so that we don't stray off. Good morning. My definition, my explanation of what you represent falls short of what you would say yourself. Good morning, Mr. Harris. How are you?
Everything is good. Good morning to everyone involved. Today's change events is an interpretation of news as it affects our community from the Alloys of North. It's a report on the events in politics, education, law, business, religion, and science. Change of events reveals the interpretation of one event to another so that the listener will know what's happening. New Jersey is a rather unique place when it comes to our community as it relates to education and science. But we have a very strong political history, too. Most people are unaware that the first Black Power Conference in the country was held in Newark, New Jersey. And it was comprised of organizations such as the NAACP, the Urban League, Afro-American Unity, Harlem Mau Mau's, along with such big names as Jesse Jackson, Ron Karanga, Floyd McKissick, Rap Brown, Charles 27, and Kenyatta. We've had and continue to have strong voices for change, like our current mayor in Newark, Roz Baraka, and his father, the late Amiri Baraka. But our history for activism goes back much further. Today's poem speaks to that history. It's called There He Stood, a teacher about justice, a victim of injustice. There he stood, an athlete of renown, a shining tower of strength. There he stood, a singer whose voice soothed, easing the pain of suffering. There he stood, a humanitarian his life through, always ready to help those in need. There he stood, an actor of international acclaim. It's the same old story, America turning its back on its best. A Black man, articulate before his time, exercising freedom of speech. For this he is blacklisted by paranoid 50s hysteria. The House committee couldn't relate. They called him a communist and locked the gate, robbing him of his livelihood. But struggle was no foreigner to him, just the way of life. Paul Robeson, Paul Robeson, a hero for our time. Paul Robeson, not to be forgotten. There he stood, a family man, a friend to all. There he stood, a figure to be respected. Was nothing he couldn't do. There he stood, innocent yet accused, but proud to be alive. And here we stand, joyously touched by a life so special. Paul Robeson, Paul Robeson, Paul Robeson. There he stood. There he stood. Thank you.
Very good. Paul Robeson, and when I looked up the description, I actually Googled, describe Paul Robeson, what I received on the internet timeline is pursuit of justice for African American people. And the other word, ambitious. Next, persistent. These are one is a phrase, the other two are words, but when you look at the pursuit of justice for African Americans and the attempt to silence someone who was ambitious and persistent as a Paul Robeson, what do you say? Walter, hold on, Mr. Harris. Walter, can you chime in? Do you have any comments that you want to add to this?
It was a good poem, him talking about Paul Robeson. It was just a really good poem. I didn't get to hear a lot. It was kind of breaking up, but I heard a little bit of the last part of it, and I just liked the wording of it, I guess, and it was a good poem, yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you said that. You might think what your statement might have been insignificant, but it reminds me to remind the audience that although the sun might be shining outside today, it's still a storm that's a cloud that's hanging over us, a cloud of a pandemic. And so that being said, we have a little breakup in our line, but we definitely don't have a shortness of content and information. We have a lady on the line, Miss Tanisha Gardner. Can you chime in? Did you like the poem? Any comment?
Yes, the poem was really good. It just makes you think of all the potential that we have. It teaches me about endurance, persistence, and consistency, and that's what we need in order for things to change. It takes time, and it's the work that you put in that you want to be able to see the fruit that you bear. So that's what I got from it.
Okay. Now we're going to throw it right back to you, Mr. Harris. Great job. And before you continue on to your next segment, I'd like to ask you from what we managed to muster up to comment about the poem that you so elegantly presented for us this morning. Do you have any comments about our comment?
No, well, it seems that everybody kind of hit it from their own perspective because everybody's on a different level, and every level has their own understanding. And I applaud all the comments, actually.
Okay. Well, please continue. I know you have more.
Oh, yes. Curtains is an exposure and analysis of artists and their work behind the curtain and the stage. Many artists and companies have grown rich from the opportunity and support of the community. But what benefits has the community gained from these artists? Today, we pull back the curtain to a singer, guitarist, songwriter, producer, dancer, performer on keyboards, drums, bass, who was among the most talented American musicians of his generation. Prince, originally named Prince Rogers Nelson, was born in June of 1958 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Like Stevie Wonder, he was a rare composer who could perform at a professional level on virtually all the instruments he required. And considered a number of his recordings, he featured him on all the performing roles. Taking an interest in music, Prince began playing the piano at age 7 and had mastered the guitar and drums by the time he joined his first band at the age of 14. With very few African-American residents in the town of Minneapolis, Minnesota, it was unlikely for the development of a major black star. But Prince even managed to lead other local musicians, most notably Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, to major success. Throughout his career, Prince's prolific inventiveness was a songwriter, clashed with his record company's policy of releasing only one single album each year. As a backlog of his completed but unreleased works piled up, he gave songs to other performers, some of whom recorded at and for Paisley Park, the studio and the label he established in suburban Minneapolis, and even organized supposedly independent bands such as The Time to record his material. He received many awards in his lifetime, including 7 Grammy Awards, a Golden Globe, an Academy Award, MTV Music Awards, along with many others, 32 in total. His music was so numerous that a rundown of what he did would be futile. We all have our personal favorites. That's what's called philanthropist. He used to say his cause was humanity. Prince was saddened by the violence in the black community. The death of Freddie Gray struck an emotional chord with the singer, who was a huge social activist. He wrote the song Baltimore, released a documentary-style video in Gray's honor. Prince felt young adults should have the opportunity in the field of technology and wanted to see diversity in those high-paying careers. So he supported Yes We Code, an initiative that helps urban youth receive a promising future by connecting tech and social justice leaders to spearhead revolutionary tech programs. Prince had his own charity called Love for One Another. The organization donated millions of dollars to community programs in the United States, including his hometown of Minneapolis. It is reported that Prince donated $1 million to the Harlem Children's Zone, a nonprofit organization for children and families living in poverty. He also donated $250,000 to the Uptown Dance Academy in New York. He donated $12,000 to the Louisville Free Library to avoid its closing and requested that his award be kept private. He reportedly gave donations to the City of Hope, the Edith Cuey Memorial Scholarship, Elevate Hope Foundation, the Elton John AIDS Foundation, the Goss Michael Foundation, Help Loving Orphans, Jazz Foundation, numerous other things. He was really, really ethical in a lot of areas. Sadly, he was found dead in his Paisley Park estate on April 21st in 2016. The autopsy later revealed that he died from an accidental overdose of fentanyl, a powerful opioid. And a lot of things people do are not really out in the public where they can really say that, you know, and they're just looking for personal accolades. He was somebody who worked behind the scenes most of the time. And that's how I'm going to close my curtain.
Okay. Well, I'm going to open it back up for you. I want you to talk about Prince from your heart. What do you know about this guy? One of his bass, playing the bass with the likes of Larry Graham, and take it away.
No, well, as far as his musicianship, he was kind of unrivaled in today's society with the music that's out here. You know, he was able to reach certain levels on, like I said early, on many instruments. And my personal liking of Prince, you know, I'm an old funk junkie from way back. And he definitely embraced a lot of the older style of music. He actually bought James Brown's music discography. And when his family was going through some stuff, he just paid for all that stuff. That's why, if you ever seen him in concert, I don't know, a lot of people have said they have, but if you ever seen him in concert, you'll never forget the experience.
Well, this is one person who had the opportunity to not only see Prince, but be sitting right in the front row. And I was so embarrassed to I was so amazed at his performance when he asked people to come up to the stage and just dance and join in. I was afraid to jump up on the audience and dance because I'm like, oh, wow, this is Prince. But wait a minute. This guy is a virtuoso. I heard you say he started playing the piano at 7 years old. Well, that explains him jumping on top of the piano case, sliding across, and playing the piano backwards. I had never seen anything like that in my life. and then run back over to center stage and have his guitar hanging in midair and grab it and continue to go. I think that particular performance was with the New Power Generation. What was the difference with the different groups? I mean, because he had the New Power Generation, there were different people that performed with him. Can you speak on any of that?
Yeah, like when he first came out, he was with his group was like the Revolution. You know, they had a couple of other people and stuff in there, and that's when he was in his early rock and roll stages. And then by the time he got to the New Power Generation era, you know, he was into a whole nother, more focused toward, I feel, the black community and our attempt to show our thoughts and stuff musically throughout the world. And he expanded even as, you know, because as you grow, you can't keep the same mindset at 20 as you do at 30 and 40. If you do, right, like Muhammad Ali said, you wasted 20, 30 years of your life. You know,
exactly.
So you have to grow. So, and that's exactly what he did. He moved from a young kid that was just jumping around, acting real crazy. He even had a song called Let's Go Crazy. And then he moved into the New Power Generation, where he was more getting, becoming an adult. And then by the time he got into the musicology and all the stuff, the little social stuff he was doing after all of that, was just showing his maturity.
Right, right. And, you know, when you say that, the information that you gave us was relevant, pertinent, and important. But the information that you're telling us now, this is the stuff we really want to hear. This guy, Prince, was amazing. At the time that I saw him, I really didn't realize how special that opportunity that I had to see him at a black music convention. I need to say that. He was at a black music convention, Jack the Rapper. Anyway, and I had the opportunity to attend and be at that front row. Anyway, just an amazing statement, an amazing artist. And, you know, I'm going to give our other hosts opportunity to chime in. Starting with Walter, would you like to comment on Prince and the segment of curtains? He pulled back that curtain, man. What comment?
Yeah, I love the fact that he started to talk about what his accomplishments at towards the end of his career, kind of. I really didn't know a lot about that. You know, me, growing up, Prince was kind of before my time when he was in his prime, so I really didn't get to hear a lot of him, but I do know about him. I do know some of his songs, and now I do know the accomplishments and the help that he has provided to the African-American community, especially with the technology and the coding. And that's a very important one, because we were seeing a lack of numbers in that field of coding technology, which is a very good field to go in, very important. And there were some people out there who actually liked that thing, but it was something that wasn't provided in our community. So him donating programs like that to get African Americans more involved with the coding and technology like that is helps improve us. And I really like that part of the segment.
Okay, well, we're going to come right back to you for our next segment in just a moment. But we're going to bring in our next host, Tanisha Gardner. Any words, comments?
Oh yeah, I love Prince. You know, if I don't remember, definitely with Purple Rain. And I think what really stood out for him as a pioneer is, you remember when he had to do the name change because of the, you know, the contract with Warner Brothers. And I guess they wanted him not to release, you know, a certain amount of music out. And he was like, no. And so what he did was they actually, you know, Warner Brothers took his name and trademarked it. So that put him against from him using his own name. And then that's when he started to use the symbol that represented male and female energy. And I think that's very powerful. And then And then from that, that's when everything just took off, and that's when it really started, I guess, that big momentum of him, you know, showing others that you don't have to have a record label to be famous or to do or to be big. So I think that's very powerful.
Okay, we're gonna come back to Walter, but Mr. Harris, I want you to speak to the fact that Prince changed his name. Now, when we talk about finances and business, being business-minded, can you talk to how Prince changed his name? Ms. Gardner, Tanisha, she just shared that with us. Can you speak to that?
Well, yeah, well, it was very important, what she had just said, you know, and it was something that most of the artists that are out here now need to kind of look at his blueprint, you know, because this is not something that he – it wasn't an original idea of his. Sam Cooke had his own record label, and he was trying to own all his own masters. Curtis Mayfield was doing that. And even in today's world, Master P was doing the same thing. The deal is, because Prince's whole idea was that if I sell my records through a record label, I might get 25 cents at the most for every album I sell, for every dollar I make. But if I sell it myself, I can get 80 cents out of every dollar. I might not sell the same number of records, but I'll make more money. And it'll be all mine. I will own all the masters. I will, you know, and it's about ownership. And he was very influential in that.
Right. I had the opportunity to attend a music business seminar, and we're going to go right to Walter after this. But Mr. Harris and everyone on the line, they said, as far as the music business is concerned, you can be as passionate as you want to be about the music that you play and, you know, play it so well. But if you don't know the music business, you can get the music business. And so many times we've seen talented, passionate, and successful artists be actually ripped off. You know, and not be able to earn and make that that money for their originality and creativity. Well, Mr. Harris, one more comment. Can you make a comment to that?
Well, you really can't argue with that point right there, because it's true. It's R&B, at least when it came to our people, it wasn't about the music as much. It was about the business, like you said. And a lot of artists who played their whole lives playing music, being creative, selling lots of records, end up broke. Just like, for example, George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic. They've ripped off every one of his major hits. Every time you hear a Funkadelic record now on the radio, they don't get any credit for it, or at least when it comes down to the money that goes to it. The royalties and stuff all go to the record company or individuals who have, according to the way they set up their contracts, because that's why we need to read more. We need to deal with professionals on professional levels. And, you know, and they've been ripped off. And it wasn't just them. You can name almost every artist before the last 10, 20 years that's been in business has lost millions of dollars. And it just goes to be said, it's about ownership. You own and you don't have to lose it.
Okay. All right. That could be a topic that we can discuss at another time. So we'll table it for the moment, right? And now, ladies and gentlemen, our student host from WSOU, Walter Pierce. Good morning again, Walter.
Good morning. And to start off for my segments of the day, I want to start off with the diamonds, of course. And the history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, as I mentioned on Wednesday, I'll be talking about two diamonds, and the first diamond I'll be talking about is Edmonia Lewis. And see, Edmonia Lewis was such a talented sculptor, she seemed to make stones talk. Her sculptures tell a story. One of the most famous, Forever Free, is a study of a freedom greeting freedom, a freedman greeting freedom. One of his hands is clenched on his fist, clenched in a fist. The other protects his wife. Many people believe that this sculpture captures the two strong feelings that many black people felt when they were declared free. Joy in their freedom and fear it would be taken away. Edmonia also created busts of famous people who fought to end slavery. Her bust of John Brown, Charles Sumner, and William Story truly captures the spirit and determination that she made men strong fighters for justice. Edmonia's father was a black American and her mother was a Native American. She was one of the first women to attend Oberlin College. After leaving Oberlin, Edmonia moved to Boston to further develop her artistic talent. Later, she went to Rome, Italy, where she set up a studio. Edmonia was also a fighter for freedom. She was involved in the Underground Railroad that made it possible for slaves to escape to the North. She also helped organize one of the first black regiments to fight in the Civil War. Edmonia was one of the first black Americans to be recognized as a great artist. And that concludes the piece on Edmonia Lewis. And just to sum up what I talked about, you see, you have Edmonia Lewis. I don't believe a lot of people even know who that is, but she plays another important role in society, which is the art world, and could be possibly a slept-on role or a slept-on job is art. And I guess people need to understand how much art just tells a story and how much art values. And her making these pieces on strong African-American men who are portrayed as people who fight for their freedom, fight for their people, and are just that portrays black power, her artwork, really just speaks to entire society and really inspires a lot of people when they see artwork like that. And, you know, as she progressed, she also went to places like Oberlin College as a black woman, which is, she was mixed with black and Native American, but still somebody who had African ancestry, going to a college like Oberlin. It's a great accomplishment. And her also going to Rome, Italy to go set up a studio, which is also another great accomplishment of somebody like Edmonia. And, you know, later in her life, she helped with things like the Underground Railroad. She helped organize the first black regiment of the Civil War, which a lot of people don't know, including me. I didn't know. She was one of the first black Americans to be recognized as a great artist, which she was. And shout out to Edmonia Lewis for leaving her fame in society. Thank you.
Okay. Excuse me. What I'm going to do now is go next. Before you continue, Walter, I'm going to go to Ms. Tanisha Gardner and ask you, if you heard the segment, right, do you have any feedback?
That was my first time ever hearing of her, so I definitely appreciate that because every day you learn something new, and it just makes you think how powerful that we really are and how we really need to teach our children the greatness of their own potential and what their ancestors have done so they could do just as many great things as they have done and what they will do. So I definitely appreciate that.
Okay. So now here's my next question to you, because I came back to you for a reason. As you listen to Walter, Are there any reflections that remind you that you once sat where Walter sits today?
Yeah, definitely. Because it made you want to learn through the research. It, you know, took the time to, like, really research, you know, different individuals that you might not have never heard, and then you have the opportunity to be able to share with someone who didn't know. So it's like, you know, we giving each other knowledge, and that's very important, you know, and that's how society moves. It's like each one teach one, and it's like, what are you feeding the people? Are you feeding them knowledge? Are you feeding them strength? Are you feeding them power? Are you feeding them encouragement? And if you are, you're going to have a healthy community, you know, and the ones who are sick, they're going to, you know, go away anyway because their mind is already made up not to want to change. But for the ones who are, like, in the middle, it to me, I feel as though it's definitely a change maker, and especially for the young generation, because the young generation is going to lead, and the old have to teach. But we also learn from each other. You know, that's what I take from it. It's very powerful.
Okay. We're going to go. Great. I'm glad I came to you. Mr. Harris, you heard the segment. You heard Walter. Any question or comment to Walter?
Yeah, well, as you know, just like the sister just said, it was, you learn something every day. But the only piece that really struck my mind was whenever we feel like first to be recognized for certain stuff, as if we have never done this type of stuff before. You know, we have a very long history taking spiritual ideas and translating that into physical form so that it can translate to different ideas. And, you know, this goes back thousands of years. But, you know, again, this was a particular individual that I had never heard of before. And she was just a continuation of what we've been doing all along. I'm glad
right.
I learned something today.
Okay. You're going to learn today. All right, but I had to throw that out there, one of those common statements. But, you know, let me, on a serious note, I found it very interesting that this is a woman. And many times women don't get the, and that was my real motivation of going to you, Tanisha, first. Women have been an integral part of helping us as a people move along and progress, but many times women are not given the proper recognition for their participation in the history and development and advancement and the struggle of our people. A lot of times our women are left out. Tanisha, can you talk about that?
That is under European rule. In African tradition, women were always next to their man. That was the whole thing about the symbols. You know, you have male and female energy. They always respected the woman. Without the woman and without the man, you won't have anything. They are the structure. They are the foundation. As like I said, when it came to European rule, they don't respect anything. So how do we expect to learn for someone who doesn't even respect their woman? And I think that's what we have to remember. We have to remember where we came from and what we was taught and what's endowed in us, you know, through our spirit. Because, you know, it takes all of us to create a change. You cannot have a man without a woman. It has to be equal, and you need both in order, you know, to raise children, to create a legacy, to create a family. And I think that's what we need to get back to, us being unified together and knowing each other's strengths, you know, because everyone has their own, you know, particular way that they have to do things, and we have to respect it and work together. That's what I take from it.
Okay, all right. Walter, student host, continue. What else do you have on tap?
Again, I'll be going into the second diamond and the last diamond of the day for me, which will be Hattie McDaniel. And Hattie McDaniel was a spirited child with a great sense of humor. She liked play acting and being the center of attention. Not an easy thing to achieve with 12 brothers and sisters. Hattie never stopped performing. As a teenager, she sang as a teacher on a radio show. Later, she worked as a professional vaudeville performer. During the 1930s, She even starred in a radio show as Hi-Hat Hattie. As an adult, Hattie was a large lady with smooth, chocolate-colored skin, a round face, expressive eyes, and a bright smile, and a booming voice. By the time she was 33, Hattie had made her way to Hollywood. To support herself, she took work as a maid and cleaning woman. Gradually, she started to get movie roles, but she always had to play a maid. There were many black servant roles in films in those days. Usually, these parts called for the characters to simply do their duties, seldom talk, always smile, and be obedient. Of course, such portrayals reflect the inferior status that white people gave to black people. Most actors who played servants were easy to forget once their scene was over. But Hattie played the servant role in a different way. She used her spirited personality and talent for comedy to make the maids she played unforgettable. She always made them wise and often made them outspoken. While pretending to be the perfect servant, she would put her employees in their place without acting observant. Hattie's style was so respected by directors that she appeared in over 20 films in the 1930s. In 1939, Hattie used all those personality traits in a role as a maid in the famous film Gone with the Wind. The film had became a classic, and for her part in it, Hattie McDaniel won the 1940 Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress. She became the first black actor or actress to win an Oscar. And that's the end of my segment. And
also another person probably a lot of people don't know or recognize. If you wasn't a big fan of watching TV in the 1930s, you probably don't know who Hattie McDaniel was. And also another reason you probably don't know was because, as you stated, as this article stated, the roles that African Americans were given in Hollywood during that time, it was also always either a servant or somebody of lower status, always working for his white counterpart. And especially during that time, that was always a big thing in playwrights, having a servant by your side doing the work for you. And they never really had a big goal but to really just smile, do their job, and just be obedient. But as you can see, people like Hattie McDaniel changed that cycle and was able to play her role a great, amazing level that other people and other playwrights wanted to add her into their films. And she just brought so much excitement, I guess, and energy to what she did as a maid when she played these roles, that it earned her an Academy Award, an Oscar, I'm sorry, her the first ever Oscar awarded to an African American, which really started the progression of African Americans in Hollywood and them getting bigger roles in different films, which is something that we deserve because there was a lot of good actors out there, and all we needed was the chance to get a bigger role, and that's exactly what we did. And now, as you can see today, there's many, including and starring great black actors, which is just a result of people like Hattie McDaniel being the pilgrim, being somebody who started this all off. And I'll open the floor up now to the rest of y'all.
Yeah, well, you know, to talk about Hollywood and access to African-American actors is a topic all within itself. There have been documentaries actually produced with present-day participators in acting, directing, and the gamut of filmmaking, and the attempt to integrate and become respected by Hollywood and to change the image and the whole idea of what can be presented to an audience is not just for a black audience, but for a global national audience. And that is where that could go. Walter, what I want you to do is right now, as we go to other hosts to ask them what they think about your segment, I want you to come up with a word, and when we come back to you, be able to define one of the two characteristics that both women that you discussed this morning, what are the characteristics that they have or similarities that you can share in the form of a definition segment. I want you to produce it right now, but we're going to go to Tanisha Gardner, and when we come back to you and then to Mr. Harris, see if you can put together something to answer or present a definition. Tanisha, good morning again.
Good morning. So I never really watched Going with the Wind. So I don't know. It made me think about Oscar Michel. That's where it took me to. Because
okay.
He was definitely a pioneer. Like he was like, listen,
well, you know, that's a good place to go.
Yeah, that's where it took me to. Because like I said, I can't say too much about her because I don't like those type of movies, and I didn't really want to watch it. So,
okay.
But just the simple fact that she had the opportunity to do it and to be able to be, you know, a change maker within it, because you need certain people to set the tone off. So for her, I would say that, and that's what makes me think about Oscar Michel and the power, you know, that he had to write so many books and so many movies that portrayed us as being strong. So it's like, I guess it makes us think about the industry in general and how they view us, and especially in a time like this. And I remember when I was at a book reading, and one of the children was talking about you know, movies and music and how they portray us as being negative. And I was like, wow, that is such a major impact of how many children, you know, even heard it or seen it that were, you know, black. And to see, like, damn, we can only be maids, and you see all the other white people with their beautiful furs, and they are doctors and you know, lawyers and judges. And it's like, what impact do you have, you know, on a society psychologically? And that's what it, you know, it puts me back to psychologically. And you know, how do we start changing the dialogue to let them know that they are powerful through images? And, you know, that's what
okay.
I took from it.
All right. Yeah. Well, very good. Oscar Michel, definitely a pioneer in black movie making, who doesn't get the recognition from an Academy Award, but however, accomplishing a mission, we're going straight to Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, I know you have a comment here.
Oh, yeah, maybe a few, but first of all, I had a McDaniel. Because I grew up with my grandparents, we only had the one TV, so we had to watch stuff that they wanted to watch. And, you know, so sadly, I had to watch Gone with the Wind. But the fact that when Hattie McDaniel won the Academy Award, she was not able to come up on stage and collect the awards like everybody else was doing. She got her award backstage where nobody could actually see her face. You know, and that was kind of a tragic ending to her greatness, well, what she accomplished. You know, and just in general, you know, again, I don't want to be like too redundant, but whenever we say we the first at something, it always it's like a negative connotation to that. Like nobody else had the talent or anything else to do that, or whether this was just the first person that was given an opportunity to do a certain thing. You know, and it's good that we find out who the first people were with the opportunity, but we also have to know that they weren't the only ones that were prepared for that certain accolade that they were getting. They were not the first that had the power to do that. And I'll leave it right there.
Okay, well, you've given Walter all the time that he has to come back with a definition. Walter, are you ready, and can you handle this, man?
Yeah, I got it. And I just want to, at the end of my segment, I just want to apologize. I meant to use the word pioneer instead of pilgrim. I meant to define her as somebody who was a pioneer, who was a leader to a lot of these upcoming African-American actors. That's exactly what Hattie McDaniel was. But besides that, I came up with a definition, and trust me, it is a lot more definitions you could use to describe these two women. And the definition that I chose, which was the most important in my opinion, was perseverance. And
wait a minute, perseverance? Could I say, well, definitions, the reason why I wanted you to do the definition, because I want to hear the introduction. You know, definitions is a segment that provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say that we care and believe in ourselves. Because I want everyone who's listening to the show to remember whosoever controls our definition controls us. And we must learn to define our own existence and not have it defined for us. So, Walter, please clear it up. Go ahead. You're going to define this for us.
So, again, perseverance. It's a word that we use multiple times on this show as the definition and words we use to describe people. The definition of perseverance is the steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. And as you can see, these two women, you can't say that it wasn't difficult for them to succeed in what they were doing, even though they were very talented and very gifted in both of their fields. Edmonia Lewis being in art and Hattie McDaniel being in acting, they were both, of course, at the top tier of what they were doing. But them being African-American during their time periods where we were openly oppressed, it wasn't easy for them to succeed and people to get to notice them. And still, today, they don't get the amount of recognition that they deserve. So they still completed a lot. They did a lot for the community. They did a lot for their people. And they definitely persevered because you see Hattie McDaniel being the first to achieve and get an Oscar. And also you see Edmonia Lewis, what she has done with these paintings being representations of Black power and Black empowerment, and also showing strong Black people in paintings, which is something that was uncommon. But she brought a different tone to it. And also her doing later in her life, helping the Underground Railroad and the Civil War, helping form the 1st Regiment. She was definitely another person who persevered and also a pioneer. And, you know, and just shout out to them again for them for being like this. And I just hope people start to actually take notice and start to talk about these types of people who started it off for a lot of artists, actors. And again, thank you.
Okay. So you're tuned to Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall University, streaming live, WSOU.net, and other platforms, which are global online, as we maneuver through a storm of a pandemic and violence. I want to, first of all, acknowledge Val being on the line. She just called in. And Val, if you can hear my voice, I would like for you to prepare information as it pertains to the electoral process. Val, I want you to give us a I want you to give us a civics lesson on how we can participate in our civic duty. And, you know, if you want to talk about the importance of actually getting out there and voting, and we did clear up some questions that are on the ballot that pertain to local business. But before, Val, we come to you, Mr. Harris, please speak to these words from definitions. We must define our existence and not have it defined for us.
Yeah, well, the whole idea of persevering, that's something that we've been doing for the last couple hundred thousand years, you know, because without perseverance and a focus on a direction where we want to go, nothing changes. And, you know, that's a very powerful word. It can be used in a lot of different categories. And it's something that we have done. It's something that we need to continue to do if unless we're happy with the place we're at right now. If we want change, we need to make a move on that now and persevere, because it's not going to be easy.
Okay. Tanisha Gardner, I'm coming to you right now, and I want you to speak to this. From definition, where it says, remember whosoever controls our definition controls us.
Yeah, that's powerful. That means you don't let anybody take your own destiny in their hands. You are in control of who you are, and whatever you believe within yourself, you make it happen, and you don't let nobody else get in your way.
Okay. All right. Now, I want to introduce everyone. Val, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So am I putting you on the spot this morning, or are you ready for it?
Well, I do have a small bit of information that'll be good for our New Jersey voters. And I was sent some information from VoteAmerica.com. And on that site, you can check your registration status to verify that you are registered to vote. You can also register to vote on the site, get information about voting by mail. You can request your absentee ballot, receive election reminders, find your polling place, and contact your election office. And again, this website is VoteAmerica.com.
Okay. All right, that sounds good. And, you know, Val has reminded us, and I want to remind those of you who are listening, you're tuned to Quest Community Vibrations, but Val reminded us earlier that it is important in the state of New Jersey, you can vote by mail. And if you actually vote by mailing your ballot in, it's early voting. So, you know, get out there and participate. Any more words on civic duty, Val, that you might want to add?
In New Jersey, the deadline for registration is October 13th. Of course, Election Day is November 3rd. Please, please, it's important for us to go out. No matter who you're voting for, it's important for us to go out and vote. It's been something... It's something that is going to be very difficult for us to do the way we've been doing in the past, but it's important, and that's how we get legislation that benefits, you know, our communities, our families, our interests. So please, go out and vote.
Right. A lot of people may not know, but Walter and I actually have a moment during the middle of the week to talk about issues that concern Walter, our student host. And there were a couple of things that he brought to the table on Wednesday. And as we talk about civic education and actually getting involved and not being apathetic and going to vote, you know, Walter talked about two things. He talked about the importance of getting out there and voting and participating, right? And I need to say, this is not the first time this young teenager has brought this to the table. But he also talked about the misinformation that's being spread across social media that will continue to misinform people about what's going on. And I want I'm going to start with Mr. Harris, and I'm going to go to Ms. Gardner, then back to Walter and Val if you want to. But here's my point. If you have a leak in your faucet, you call a plumber. If you need medical help, you call a doctor. You contact someone who is a specialist in that particular area, a field of expertise. And the thing that Walter brought to the service, to the surface, is that we have a lot of people who might be somewhat, I know how I would say it, people who we might know from movies, from music, from just being on holding certain stages in society, that are speaking to civics of participating in the electoral process. They have their own different opinions. And Mr. Harris, do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I kind of do, you know. And that's part of our problem within our community, is that we look to people, like we look to plumbers to help our medical problems. You know, these are people who, I say, have their own agenda. You know, they're not within the struggle that most of our people are into at the moment. And, you know, and their whole focus on what they want to say and how they want to say it can put a slant. Like, I even heard some people talk about we want to hold the vote until we get a black agenda. You know, that's a nice bumper sticker, but in reality, if you don't vote, you'll never have a black agenda. You know, and we need to start looking and maturing politically. You know, the Tea Party had their little thing when they first came out. People thought they was crazy to the moon, but now they run the government because they know that it takes time and you can't change anything if you're not a part of the system, unless you're going to just separate and do what you're going to do on your own, which I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but that might be another consideration. But you have to be in it to win it. And as long as we feel like my vote don't count, you're absolutely right, it won't.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Harris. We have about 90 seconds to go to the show. We're going to go to Tanisha Gardner. Are you apathetic? Do you get out there and practice your civic duty? Have we educated you, Tanisha?
Like I said, it's a two-way sword, I guess. You kind of understand the frustration of why people don't vote. So even if they don't vote, it's the people who are it's enough of us that are going to vote to make that difference. And it's like, as they say, it takes one to lead 1,000. And it's about us doing, you know, the political duties. And it's not so much, you know, once you vote, it's much more than just voting for that one day. You have to go to your council meetings. You have to go to your state meetings. And I think that's where the power at, that we have to be able to organize in all levels, not just, vote on these particular days. It's not about that. It's about doing it every day when they come up for zoning, when it comes up for planning board meetings, when it comes up for these commissioners. You know, it's a lot to it, even on a county level, that we don't talk about. So I think we need to educate in all levels to be able to create that change that we need.
Okay, Val, you have 3 seconds. You've heard what everyone had to say about your civic lessons and the information. I would like you to put, you know, a period at the end and give us your viewpoint and opinion quickly.
Yes, it is important for us to go to our council meetings or, and get involved in different organizations, but find out where your passion is and try to focus, because you as one person can't, you know, be effective on all of those committees, but you can try and do one that you are passionate about and consistent with to help engage and you know, affect whatever change needs to be affected for that particular organization.
Okay, Walter, it's your turn to close the show. It's on you.
I just want to thank everybody for their viewpoints, for their input on topics. It was a very good information that was shared on Wednesday, and again, we're going to share even better information next Wednesday. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations Live 89.5. And Quest Youth Radio, again, is the best youth radio.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Great job. And until next week, we'll see you.